Jim Packard with you in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today as we switch gears to talk about energy use and energy efficiency in Wisconsin, reducing your carbon footprint. And our guest is Thomas Content, who is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee. And Tom Content, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Jim.
You and your colleague Lee Berquist recently completed the fourth part in an occasional series on global warming. They point out that nearly a decade after Wisconsin first drafted a plan to fight global warming, the state's efforts to encourage energy efficiency and reduce greenhouse gas emissions have failed to curb our appetite for electricity. The DNR assembled a committee of business and conservation groups to address global warming in the mid-1990s. The panel produced recommendations in 1998 designed to cut residential and commercial electricity use. Whatever happened to those recommendations?
Well, it's as we've looked into this issue, we've talked to a lot of folks, and the state just didn't have it. Global warming just hadn't ascended to the point where it is now in the national conversation and in the state conversation. And although there was a lot of work being done, a lot of other issues overtook global warming at the time. One of the proposals was to reduce our reliance on coal-fired power because coal was one of the biggest sources of greenhouse gas emissions. But the state experienced electricity shortages in the summers of 97 and 98 that really drove what we're seeing now, which is construction of new coal-fired power plants.
Mm-hmm. Here in the state, 60% of our electricity is generated from burning coal, and we rely more on coal than 37 other states. You mentioned the activity of constructing coal-fired plants. So do you see us burning more coal for electric power over the next 5-10 years?
It sure looks that way. We as part of our series in our first installment, we did look at how we rely so much on coal in Wisconsin versus most of the country. And because there's a national, there are efforts underway around the country to build coal plants, but Wisconsin is really at the forefront of that with the plants that are being constructed in here in the Milwaukee area in Oak Creek and then up north in north central Wisconsin and near Wausau. And some figures that the utilities provided to the state show that over the next 6 years or so, our carbon emissions from coal are going to be rising by about 10%. So that's just going to make it that more challenging as the state looks now with a lot of activity underway with the governor's task force mm-hmm. to take on the problem.
The state of Wisconsin, in relation to other states in terms of spending per capita on energy efficiency, ranks now in a tie for 12th with the state of Iowa. Where were we 10 years ago in that kind of spending?
Well, we were a top 10 state for a while there. The state, in the early to mid-90s, the state's utilities were running the energy efficiency programs themselves. And Wisconsin was actually considered in the forefront at that time, particularly in the experts tell us that particularly in the area of highly efficient furnaces, that we had more per capita than most states. And then as the utilities started moving toward deregulation, then they saw less of an incentive to promote these energy efficiency programs, because if we were all choosing our electric company and there was a fierce competition among power providers, there'd be no incentive for the utility or no logic from their point of view to try to get people to buy less of the product they're selling. So the state ended up creating this Focus on Energy program, which is a statewide energy efficiency initiative. And we ranked 12th now, or most recently, but we ranked still ranked in the top 10 shortly after that statewide initiative was created.
Vermont and Massachusetts are now spending about twice as much per capita to lead the states. What is it that Vermont and Massachusetts have done that Wisconsin ought to be emulating?
Well, Vermont in particular has created an energy, what they call an energy efficiency utility. It's actually its own very centralized program that is really ramping up spending, and they're charging. It's funded through electric rates, kind of like what's going on in Wisconsin, but they're just spending more. Wisconsin is restoring funding. They had cut funding for several years over the last 4 years, and have now finally restored the funding, but it's not being spent at the level that's being seen in some of these other states.
Are there any new initiatives this year being tried by Governor Doyle and the administration?
Well, that's one of the big issues there that's being thought of as the state governor's task force on global warming, which has about 29 or 30 folks from industry, utilities, environmental groups, and kind of the energy sector itself. And so there are a lot of things being thought about as ways to ramp up energy efficiency and try some different things.
We're talking with Thomas Content, who is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He and Lee Berquist have completed the fourth part in an occasional series on global warming. And if you'd like to check the website out to find out what they've been writing, you can go to jsonline.com/globalwarming and get up to date with the articles that they've been writing about this. Is this something that you chose to do, or is this something that the newspaper itself wanted to get into?
Well, it's just in talking, I cover the energy area, and I have been for about 5 years, and Lee Berquist used to cover the energy area, energy sector, and he covers the environment for us, and this issue has just kind of taken on, really ascended to the top here, and we just, in the last couple of years, it just seemed like everywhere I went, whether it was to an energy and environment conference or even a conference focus where it was mainly just utility folks speaking, this issue, carbon issues, carbon footprint, greenhouse gas risk, that issue is just coming up through seeming like all walks of life. So it's something that Billy and I said, let's get something rolling on this, and the editor said, let's go for it.
If you'd like to join the conversation, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, toll free at 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, our email address is talk@wpr.org. Why is energy efficiency being touted as a key strategy in addressing global warming?
Well, there are a lot of things people are thinking about when they think about ways to reduce emissions. A lot of the technologies that are being thought about are going to take time to implement. For instance, if we could talk about building new nuclear plants because they don't produce any carbon dioxide emissions, but there haven't been any nuclear plants built in the country, and right now we even have a ban on building new ones in Wisconsin. And energy efficiency, on the other hand, is just cutting your energy use, whether it's using a programmable thermostat or making your home more energy, less leaky, to losing the chilled air in the summertime or the hot air in the wintertime. So it's something that can be implemented right away.
Mm-hmm. Are there some ways that the utility customers are billed that should be changed?
They're thinking about that. There's in the water area, the Waukesha just set up a kind of water utility rate that was authorized by the state, in which if you conserve water, your rates will be lower. And that's being tried in Iowa in some places. And the governor's task force, actually one of the work groups, that are meeting regularly right now, they're thinking about doing the same, trying to see whether that might be workable here.
Because ordinarily, you'd be classified at a higher rate, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you're basically billed at a certain rate, at a certain rate that changes every so often as the utilities come in for rate increases. And we haven't seen rate drops in a long time.
No.
Because we're building more power plants, and we've seen purchase power the cost of natural gas and other fuels rise. So another thing that there is available today is real-time pricing, although it's not heavily marketed, and it's something that the people who do use it can find ways to save by doing the most energy-intensive things around the house time of the day when power prices are cheaper.
In another way that you wrote about boosting energy efficiency is to change how utilities earn money. Talk about that aspect.
Well, that's an interesting concept that's being discussed in California and other states around the country, and it's certainly, we were told, was certainly on the table here in Wisconsin, at least as the governor's task force working group meets on these issues. It's utilities are basically, they earn a profit based on how much sales they have, and so if there's a lot of a massive decrease in energy use based on energy efficiency, based on people installing compact fluorescent light bulbs or adding that much more insulation to their homes or just being that much more energy conscious, then at the end of the year their bottom line is a little lower because it's all a factor of sales. So there's the technical term that is used around the energy sector is decoupling, where they're trying to decouple, break off the profit that the utility makes from the sales that it generates.
Joe and Franklin, let's bring you into the conversation. Go ahead.
Good morning. I go a little crazy when I go into my local post office. The thermostat seems to be set at 70 degrees 24 hours a day all summer long. When I run my air conditioner, I set it at 78. I subscribe to the We Energy's discount for letting them cycle me off during the course of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've written to my congressmen and my senators. I get the standard, thank you for your input. But the thermostat is still set at 70 degrees at the post office, 24 hours a day. What can we do?
And in order to answer that, I'm going to give Tom a chance to ponder the question, and we will give you the answer right after the news. But we're going to pause and catch up with what's going on in the world. Our guest is Thomas Content, a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's been writing about energy use and energy efficiency in Wisconsin and reducing your carbon footprint. You can go to jsonline.com/globalwarming to see those articles. And we will take your calls right after the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good afternoon. Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us today as we continue to talk about energy use, energy efficiency in Wisconsin, reducing your carbon footprint. And again, Thomas Content, energy reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is our guest. And Tom, thanks very much for spending time with us today.
Glad to do it.
Our caller just before the news asked a question why the post office thermostat was stuck at 70 24/7.
Well, that's a good question. I don't have the best answer for that one, but I know that a lot of governments around the country, local governments, have adopted what they're calling a climate challenge, and some state governments, including Wisconsin, are trying to reduce energy use in state buildings and boost and ramp up the amount of renewable energy, non-fossil fuel energy being generated to supply those agencies. At the federal level, I know President Bush issued an executive order this year that requires federal agencies to improve their energy efficiency and reduce their emissions. And so one would think that at some point that would roll down through the bureaucratic food chain, but it hasn't at that post office, certainly.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to join the conversation, all you have to do is give us a call in Madison at 263-1890, otherwise toll-free at 800-642-1234. And we have a couple of lines open, so you ought to get on quite quickly. And Bill in Milwaukee is a caller that's been waiting a bit. Thanks, Bill. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. I've always felt that a private company offering energy is interested primarily in the profit motive, and then conservation just does not register on their radar. because the two don't seem to go along in my mind. Now, maybe it's just I'm just being too simplistic. Now, I was wondering what your guest, I guess, thought of that, or if how he sees We Energy's conservation efforts. Does he see them more as just like lip service, or as a real effort by them?
Okay.
Well, again, a lot of the energy efficiency programs that are taking place are collected on We Energy's bills for the monthly bills, but the money is sent to a third party, and the programs are run by a Focus on Energy, which is a statewide initiative. Now, in the case of We Energy's, there is some programs that they've been required to do as a part of basically as one of the conditions of getting authorization to build their big coal-fired power plant that's under construction in Oak Creek. They are doing some energy efficiency programs themselves. But the reason that whole statewide initiative was created was specifically for that reason, because of the concern that there isn't much incentive for any company that's try to sell less of its own product.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill, thanks very much for that thought. I know that We Energies has a green pricing program that permits customers to pay a little extra on their electric bills for the right to secure the electricity from renewable sources. Has that become popular for them, do you know?
Yes, it has. In one of the stories that my colleague Lee Berkowitz and I did earlier this year, we discussed that a little as one of the steps people can take if they want to reduce their own home footprint. They can sign up for such programs. In the case of We Energies, it's Energy for Tomorrow, but the other utilities have similar programs. And there is rising interest in that, both from the residential side and the commercial side. I think I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know We Energies says that I think they added about 1,000 new customers just in the past year,
okay,
if I remember right, and their new business customers as well.
On to Ernest and Hayward. And Ernest, what's on your mind there?
You know, the state of Wisconsin does not only ban nuclear power, it also bans an individual from building his own alternative and energy-efficient house. I can give many examples, but let me just throw out the idea of thermal mass, which is not even recognized in the Uniform Dwelling Code calculations. Thermal mass concept refers to the idea of storing heat in the structure itself and in the surrounding earth. Instead, your commercial building uses insulation, artificial insulation, to keep the heat from escaping. What I would suggest is that the government forget about banning nuclear power and simply eliminate the subsidies of nuclear power and raise the taxes on coal and nuclear power, and I think the market will take care of itself. In the same way, let an individual who can't afford to buy a house from a commercial contractor build his own house. Don't protect the individual from himself. I think this is where you're going to see innovation. You're not going to see innovation in your commercial building.
Your thoughts on that, Tom?
I know one thing that is being considered as part of the state's efforts and efforts in other states as well is you shouldn't overlook the importance of the building codes and the standards that are in there. And there are changes that are being thought of that would require more energy efficient construction practices or lots of changes to boost energy efficiency. I'm not sure how much of it would actually get enacted when this all comes before the state leaders, legislature/governor next year. But it's something that is being taken a look at, and I'm not sure if it goes all the way toward requiring green building techniques. But certainly there are, it is under discussion.
And Ernest, thoughts on thermal mass?
I am not versed well enough on that to give a thought.
All right. Ernest, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. And Tom in Columbus, let's get you into the conversation. Go ahead.
Yes. I have a couple of concerns about renewable energy. You know, we talk about wind and solar and all different things in the on the fringes, but we're overlooking hydro. And I just don't understand why there's such a concerted effort after 911, when we were kind of shown to have to rethink our priorities, why we don't realize that, you know, we're more important than fish. All the fish are going to be dead from the virus anyhow. And fish are not necessarily all impinged in water turbines. And I don't understand why, you know, Bruce Babbitt, way back in the Clinton era, took hydro off the list of renewable energy. And it is the only non-depletable renewable energy that's dependable, especially in our Midwest climate. And we have a concerted effort by the state of Wisconsin to take all the dams out. Well, that's like, you know, most of the communities are entrenched in a lake situation or a dam, and they're a part of the community. They're what built the community. Those old folks were not so stupid and made use of hydroelectricity. And I think we should have a concerted effort. And even in the media, they don't talk about it. It's kind of like an obscure thing. And windmills aren't blowing, and hydro's running, not using it. There should be some push to use it and some way to moderate the DNR and their attitudes about it. I think an article should be written and something should be dealt with on that. And if you want to talk to me, I'd be glad to give you my information.
Tom, your reaction to the use of hydro and the additional push for hydro?
There is some hydro for some of the utilities in the state, for most of the utilities, and they're obviously not building new. There have been environmental concerns raised on that. But one push that did come up this year, which was kind of interesting, was the Green Bay Electric Utility, Wisconsin Public Service, was seeking to allow it to meet the state's renewable standard, renewable mandate, by use of hydro from Manitoba. Manitoba Hydro, which is a massive hydroelectric series of hydroelectric projects and has new projects on the drawing board up there, their thought was that WPS would be able to secure some of that as to meet that requirement. But it ran into a lot of opposition in Madison because of those continuing environmental concerns about hydroelectric power, and because that issue had been discussed and debated when the energy/environment stakeholders were addressing that issue last year, over the last 2 years before the state enacted this renewable mandate. Under that, utilities have to, the state's electricity, 10% of it has to come from renewable sources by 2015.
We're talking with Thomas Content, energy reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And if someone like Tom wants to contact you, you have an email address there that is good for that, isn't it?
That's right. TContent, TConTent, TContent at journalsentinel.com, no hyphen.
So, Tom, go ahead and pass your suggestions and questions and complaints, I guess, on to Tom at that address. Stormy is in Green Bay. Stormy, what's on your mind today?
Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I are looking into getting solar shingles for our house, not only for the environment, but also hopefully cost-effective over the long run. However, when we were looking at rebates that might occur tax-wise, Sound County was an exception. They don't have rebates for going solar. Is this common?
I didn't think that it's my understanding that the rebates and or it shouldn't be a function of your county, unless if you're a customer of Wisconsin Public Service, is that who you is your
yes.
provider? Then they should be covered by the Focus on Energy program, which means you should be eligible for whatever incentives or rebates that that the statewide program offers. So I would encourage you to contact Focus directly at focusonenergy.com, and they have an 800 number, which I have somewhere here. But
I have that as 800-762-7077.
And the other thing that I would mention is that there may not be something on the county level, but there are also federal tax credits right now for certain kinds of solar, and actually even for home insulation and home energy improvement. So if somebody's thinking about gee, I've been meaning to do added some insulation to seal up my house. This would be probably the best time to do it would be over the next few months, because unless it's changed by Congress, the last I had seen the federal tax, there's a federal tax credit that's set to come off at the end of this year.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so focusonenergy.com will have that information for you. And let's talk about a home energy audit. We've talked about that in the past here on this program, but home energy audit, approximately what would be a cost for such a thing, and what is included in this home energy audit?
Well, the home energy audit, there are certified consultants that come into your house, and it's generally roughly $400, and there are some incentives sometimes for the either the cost of the audit or the cost of work implementing changes that are recommended by the audit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because there's so many misconceptions about our own homes. We think we know our homes, but in the case of my house and many other people who live in older homes, you feel like you're feeling a draft right through the window. So the first impulse and some of the market research that the Energy Center of Wisconsin has done bears this out, and that people think, well, I've got to replace my windows. And often it's not that at all. It's injecting insulation into the walls themselves, and or plugging leaks around the chimney. These are some of the key areas that some of the energy contractors that we interviewed told us about.
Okay, let's go to Ron in Madison next. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. I want to follow up on the wisdom of off-peak pricing and the smartness of shifting the load for electric demand to nights, early mornings, and to weekends. The best thing most of us can do is to shut down whatever electrical things we are using between noon and dark. Not everything, but avoid using anything that produces heat that adds to the air conditioning load. And this is especially critical anytime they're forecasting the temperature to go above 90 degrees. 8 years ago, the politicians and executives transferred the $0.6 billion worth of transmission wires in Wisconsin to a new corporation called American Transmission Company, ATC. That corporation now wants to spend $3.1 billion to upgrade the system. That is over 500% increase in the infrastructure cost. And they want us to pay for it. The federal government guarantees them a 12.2 profit. So for every $1 million they waste on excessive capacity, excessive expensive transmission lines, the consumers in Wisconsin, us little guys, are forced to pay them $122,000 of pure profit for every $1 million they waste. They claim that 29 hours per year they're in danger of exceeding the capacity of their transmission system around Dane County. 29 is less than one-third of 1%. If we cut back during 50 or 100 hours that are the hottest summer hours, we can totally erase their excuse for wanting to spend billions of dollars on excess capacity. We need to use the natural warmth and coolness that is in the groundwater, in the soils, in the deep lakes. We can do virtually all of our air conditioning in Wisconsin from those sources, and we could also supplement the heat a great deal and eliminate the need for coal-fired plants and nuclear plants and rely on natural energy instead. Thanks.
Okay, Thomas.
There's a lot of issues raised there. I think one of the things that people have to keep in mind is that we're not talking just about reducing we're in a period where energy use has been climbing across the state and across the nation, and it's projected to keep climbing. We're building the average new home built today is much bigger than it was before. We have that umpteen more electronics, whether it's large widescreen TVs that use a lot of energy or all of our devices that we charge every night. The demands are going up. I think the caller is definitely interested in seeing a concerted and kind of widespread comprehensive effort to reduce energy use across the board to to obviate the need for these power lines, and it's something that it's a challenging task because the trends are going the other way right now with energy use on the rise.
Let's go to Roger in Iowa County. Roger, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I wanted to do a follow-up or continuation of a thought. The guy who brought up thermal mass, what he's talking about is we all know that caves stay at about 48 to 52 degrees. So the more of our home that is in contact with the soil, the less it will change whether it's 95 degrees in the summer or 20 degrees below zero in the winter. So that's the thermal mass, the earth burning concept. What he was saying about the state discriminating against that is now when you apply to build a new home, you have to go through an energy worksheet. Usually it's ResCheck. And ResCheck and the energy worksheet give no credit, no value to an earth bermed or thermal mass or passive solar design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, berming, thermal mass, and passive solar are the least expensive cost-adding designs to build an energy-efficient home if you're building new. And they have no credit. They're actually they actually cause problems when you fill out the energy worksheet for your building permit. That's what he was talking about, the discrimination.
Okay. I understand.
And that's something we'll have to just take a look at and find out if that is being incorporated into some of the changes that the governor's task force is thinking about.
Roger, thank you very much. We appreciate the update on that and have a broader understanding of what our previous caller was saying. Doe in Williams Bay, go ahead.
Hi. There are those that think I'm from another planet because of my peculiar habits, but one such is saving my bathwater and using bucketfuls to do our flushing. And I really want to say, especially to your guests, the right words are important. To reach people, the phrase global warming is totally removed, and humans think we have an infinite supply of everything and truly don't care about the globe. So please, when you write, please consider a way to say, save our water and air and keep us alive.
Thomas?
Yeah, there are lots of unique and different ways that people are trying to reuse and recycle and not have less of a footprint, and we're seeing examples of that across the state, and that's something that Lee Berquist and I are working on right now for our next installment, is just the extent to which people are embracing the concept of reducing their footprint, or at least thinking about it in ways that they haven't thought about it in the past.
Doe, thank you so much for being with us today. Bill in Cottage Grove is next. Hi, Bill.
Hi. A couple of callers earlier talking about using probably geothermal and some other issues are important. We recently built a home. We've been in it for over a year. It's 1,920 square feet in size. And we can heat our house for $120 a year. And the issue of thermal mass that was mentioned earlier is one of the major contributions. We've got our home, so it's a passive solar-oriented home. And we have a 6-inch concrete slab with 2 inches of styrofoam underneath it. But in the wintertime, when it's very cold outside, that slab gets warmed up, and it acts like a radiator, and it gives off heat later on.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have a super-insulated home with some real high-performance windows, we never have to run our heating system during the daytime. And we're able to just heat after 8 o'clock, which means instead of using 10 cents a kilowatt-hour electricity to run my geothermal system, I can use 4.9-cent kilowatt-hour material.
So you're on the real-time pricing program?
Yes, we are. So if we were using just radiant electric, it would probably cost us about $800 a year to heat our house.
I know that that question deserves a big answer, but unfortunately, we don't have the time for a big answer. And I'm going to have to say that, Bill, you and everyone else will have to watch the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to see what the next report will be on how people are reducing their particular footprint. Thomas, thank you so much for being with us today.
Glad to do it.
Do you have any idea how long it'll be before this next series, the next item in the series, number 5, comes out?
I'll keep checking the Journal Sentinel on Sundays, but it looks like the next installment by Lee Berquist and myself should be sometime in the next month or so.
All right.
September time frame there.
Thank you, Thomas. Thomas Content, energy reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can see the first 4 articles in this occasional series if you go to jsonline.com/globalwarming. Thanks again to Akisha Mabra for On Air Phone Production. I'm Jim Packard. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.